You know, it is my very great pleasure right now and my honor to introduce our next guest and sponsor. And some of you may say he needs no introduction, but I say he deserves an introduction. This is the man who stands up for working people and their families every day. He works tirelessly for all of us, and especially those who don't have a voice. He has led the fight against privatizing our crown assets. He has attended every rally in support of maintaining public education, health care, and the services British Columbians need. And he takes on our opponents with vigor, vitality, integrity, and the strength of the labor movement behind him. And I'm talking about our very own president of the BC Federation of Labor, Jim Sinclair.
It's okay, my mother taught me, never let it go to your head, you know. It's an honor to be here tonight. I mean that. This government's in trouble, really, you know, when you look around this room. Because it's Friday night, you know, what we call normal people would be out doing things with their families and other things, and you're all in this room here tonight talking about public education, and that's amazing. And that's good news. And is anybody here feeling like giving up? I don't think so, eh? Not a chance. We're just getting going. We've got a job to do. I just want to say to the brothers and sisters from Ontario, the only thing we're going to do different than them, we're not going to give the buggers a second term. Right. And you know, I know I'm going to be quick because, you know, you don't want to hold up the beer strategy too long, right? Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what, for every beer I drank, I solved more problems than I could only remember them the next morning. Right, the more you drink, the more you solve the problems. Sometimes it's not great. But, you know, one thing you hear about Ontario that's very clear, and I think it's a lesson we've all learned, whether we're working people or communities fighting for their rights, or teachers fighting for schools, or people fighting for their schools, is that there is no guarantee that we're going to win everything we ask for, but the only guarantee there is if we don't fight, we're going to lose. And that's what you've got to remember every time we do this. And I just want to say that it is about courage and about standing up, and it does work. And I want to thank tonight the CFS for one of the best demonstrations I've been to in a while the other day. 3,000 students saying, I want a right to education. You know, I do gotta say this, folks. Boys, women are getting it, and we're a little slow. You know, I hear what you said about Ontario, and you read the polls, and it looks like, as usual, women are getting it, and men are a little slow getting it, so we got a job to do with our brothers out there that are kind of slow about what's going on. Not all of you, not the ones in this room, but really, because it comes down to, again, people thinking about the bigger picture. Somebody said to me one day, you know, births and deaths and sickness, women take care of all that stuff, plus now they work full-time. So they have two full-time jobs. And they take care of the kids besides that, the young and the old. And, you know, I think they get it really fast because that's who the government's punishing these days. And so it's women that have to pay a price for this as they're getting kicked off their welfare on the other side because suddenly they're not responsible enough to get welfare or important enough and all of that. And so I really see that this thing about education right now and what's going on and what you're all talking about is also about what's going on to a whole lot of things because it's about whether or not we're going to live in a world of consumers and individuals and people who are there for the market and taxpayers, they call us, and all those names, or whether we're going to live in a world of citizens and human beings. Whether or not we're going to celebrate consumption or we're going to celebrate humanity. Whether or not we're actually going to get up in the morning and decide all the people in my neighborhood are as important to the world and my world as I am. And you see, that's sort of the difference here, because if you say to yourself, the person sitting in this seat is as important to me as the person sitting in this seat and as important as this person over here, then you get a different world view out of all that. Suddenly, it's about caring. Suddenly, it's about the fact that you build a world where we care about each other. And everybody's important. And that's what this struggle is all about. It's the fact that we think in this room, and I think everybody that we really believe in thinks in the room, that everybody's important. Not by their Visa card limits or who they were born to or whose womb they came out of, but because they're a human being. And that's really... we make that importance in our families, we hope. As parents, we try to make our kids important in what they're doing. But that importance and that caring also has another word. And I want to make the argument from the trade union perspective, but from generally, that when we talk about all those things, what we're really saying is the word we use is solidarity. That it's a sense of solidarity with each other that builds the kind of place and the kind of world we need. And if you look at public education, and what does public education do? Well, that's our solidarity with the next generation of human beings that are coming up, that are our children. And when we say to every one of those children, you're important and you're going to have a decent public education system and an education system where the books aren't 5 years old, where you have opportunities, where kids who struggle are helped, where everybody has a chance. Did I say something wrong? If I say all of that, that's like, they're new books. But they aren't 25 years old, I said. You know what I mean? My kids came to school the other day, they told me I'm sick, they bring the books in, we don't have enough. You know, that's the bottom line. But when we say to kids, we say you have those chances, that's what solidarity is. You don't say to them, if you work your guts out in high school and get 75%, there's no place to go in post-secondary education. You don't say to them, because you worked your guts out in high school and you did everything you could, you can't go to post-secondary education because you can't afford to go. You don't say those things to those folks because that closes doors. And the crying that's going on has little to do with those boxes you saw on TV being carried out of the legislature. Now, maybe there's a crime in those too. But the real crime that's going on is we're saying to young people that you no longer are that important. In fact, we're saying to you that you don't have a right to go to education anymore and get that stuff. And we're saying to you, we're closing those doors now for you. And that's the crime that's being committed by this government, and a shameful crime at that, that has huge consequences for this province and for the people and the future. And it's not just about morals and ethics and being decent human beings. I was at an economic conference today, surrounded by business people. Now, we don't always agree. But you know, all the experts that came, the guy that came from London told us all about in his suit how, you know, he goes around the world to attract people to come and invest in London. And what was his message to us? The same one as the guy from Oregon the night before. He said, the number one thing that we sell is a skilled workforce. That's what we sell. Because if we can't sell a skilled workforce, then they're not coming. It doesn't matter what the tax structure is or how cheap the land is. If we don't have the people to produce the goods, then you don't have anybody investing. It seems kind of basic. Those folks on one hand stand up and say, we need to have good education systems, and they've got to be connected to the real world. At the same time, the same folks in Victoria are closing them down. There seems to be a disconnect here, I'd say, somewhere. And that's what's going on here. Now, the other thing he says, though, and this is the part that scares me, is when I talked to him out in the hallway, he said this in publicly, he said they were having trouble with this, getting skilled workers now in Ontario. So he says, we have a deal in the Philippines where we have people over in the Philippines recruiting people to come from the Philippines that have the skills to come over and work in London. And I'm sort of going, is there something wrong with this picture somewhere? When you think about it, here's one of the richest countries in the world, us, by the way, richest countries in the world, going and hiring people to steal the talented, skilled people from third world countries to come here to put them to work in our country because we're too goddamn lazy and too cheap to train our own people and take that commitment to our own people. Now, this is wrong. It's not only bad economics, it's morally bankrupt. I don't mean we shouldn't train people from the third world and help the third world folks out, but I do mean we shouldn't be using them as a source of skilled labor and stealing their folks when they have half the resources we do. So when we sit back and look at the answers that are being offered by those folks over there, they're dumb, dead-end answers. They're not going anywhere. They're not going to build the kind of society we need or give the kind of hope we need for the future. No modern economy has been able to build a society that works without a highly educated workforce. Because guess what? We can't do cheap labor. We just can't do that. $6 doesn't cut it, okay? We're not going to attract people looking for cheap labor. It's not where we're going. The only people who believe that are the people in Victoria. So all of this cuts, all of this closures, all of this stuff's going on, you're seeing it every day, we're already losing kids. Let's just say that to ourselves. We're losing kids today as we talk. In Ontario, my friends talk about a whole lost generation. You put up a wonderful fight, but there was a price to those things, and those kids paid that price, and so did everybody else. Because, you know, they say we can't afford it. You know, you just have to look, we're going to pay sometime as a society. You can get to the point like California. Right now in California, they have, of course, a huge budget crisis. But when you look at what they spend their money on, it's interesting to note that that particular society spends more money on prisons than they do on post-secondary education. And what does that say about the society you live in? Well, if you don't take care of people and make them important, then they don't take care of anybody else at the end of the day. And they got to find other ways to participate in the society. So we all know what the other side of this story is. We don't have to paint pictures. We know what it looks like. It's not a pretty picture when you rob children of hope and a future. Because they find their own hope, and they got to find their own future. And it's tough going, and we all know what that means. I said to an educator one day, what's the difference between an American school and a Canadian school system? She said, the number one difference is poverty. You know, think about that. And what are we doing in this society? We're making more poor kids. This isn't just about schools. This is about our world. Schools and how we treat children in schools are a reflection of how we treat people in our communities. And if we have communities that respect everybody, where people can go to work and expect to come home alive and in one piece and paid a fair wage, if we have societies where women are treated with respect and racism is gone, then we also have good public education and free tuition for university, because we all get it. It's all tied together. And that's what we have to get out and talk about. And the other economic arguments, you're going to hear about a balanced budget next week. You're going to hear about we're in the black. Well, guess what? The whole province is in the red. Maybe they're in the black over there. But the deficit around the rest of this province is pretty gross. And we can't buy into the line that our ultimate goal in life was to balance the budget. Of course, we could overlook the fact that they inherited a $1.5 billion surplus and squandered that first by giving tax cuts away to people who didn't need them. You know, poll after poll, I agree with the folks from Ontario, poll after poll show time after time that people are willing to pay more for decent things. All of you in this room, we're not the wacko left. We're not those folks. We're Main Street. Our values are the values of the vast majority of British Columbians. We believe in the right things. We're fighting for the right things, folks. Don't let them tell you something different. Don't let them tell you we can't afford this. We couldn't afford $8 billion worth of tax cuts. That's what we couldn't afford, mostly to wealthy folks. We can't afford to close any more schools. We've already closed over 200. We can't afford to lay off more teachers now. 2,500 teachers. 200 wrong? Quick. 92. Okay, don't exaggerate the point. You lose your case. Oh, you lose your case. That's right. That's in the budget. I was at a meeting the other day. I appreciate a comment about been raised a number of times here by people. I was at my own union convention the other day, and there was a speech by a Haudenosaunee on the floor, a guy that's been around for many, many years. And, you know, and unions are kind of like families. I mean, I kind of think we're all kind of like a family anyway. He said, he talked about this story, this guy who's retiring after 35 years. He said, we wanted a big demo. We had a great time in Prince Rupert. Then we went back to the, when we went out to the lake. And, of course, we had a couple of pops and we're having a good time. And there wasn't enough stumps to go around. And I got up to get, the fellow said he got up to get another beer. And the other guy sat on the stump. So I came back and said, get off my stump. Piss off. Get off my stump. No, so of course, off they go. Next thing you know, they're in the lake together, fighting over the stump. You know, he said, you know, and I learned an important lesson today, he said, it carried with me a long way. He said, we finally stopped fighting, we got out and we walked back, and we're sort of figuring out how we're going to solve the stump problem. We looked over and the fire was going really well and the stump was burning fine. And I thought to myself, there's some wisdom in that, you know? And we're going to need that kind of wisdom in the next period of time because they're going to pit school district against school district. They're going to pit parents against teachers. They're going to pit the folks with special needs against the other kids who say, why are those kids in my class now? Because my, quote, normal kid isn't getting ahead. They're going to do all of that crap. They're going to say the custodians against the teachers. I already heard that discussion here today already. We know what they're going to do. And we know as long as we buy into that argument, we can't stop that from happening. That if we buy into the argument that we have to take what they give us and that's the only option, that we will spend the next year and a half or 2 years defeating each other. And there is nothing in that, sisters and brothers and friends, at all. The only way we're going to get through this is to stand up and say to this government and to our neighbors and our friends, more importantly, that there is only enough education funding when there are no children left behind. That's it. That's the criteria. No children are left behind. We have a lot of work to do, and we have some drinking to do. It's 5 after 9. But we have a lot of work to do, and I want to just end by thanking, really, from the bottom of my heart, as a parent, as a trade genius, as a citizen and a human being, all of you in this room tonight, not just for being here tonight, because I know every one of you goes home and takes this home and feels and breathes this and goes out there and does what's best for your community and your kids. And you know what? As we do that, I want you to think about this, that it's tiring some days, it's hard, it's hard going when people kind of ignore you and they don't get it. But at the end of the day, not only are you doing what's right for your community, I want to make the point you're doing what's right for you. Because we're better people because of what we believe in, because you're all in this room tonight. And that as we struggle, we aren't going to guarantee you win everything. But I do guarantee you this, if we struggle, we'll be better people. And we will continue to believe those beliefs that we're all important. And so I want to thank you for doing that from the bottom of my heart, and I want to encourage you to keep doing it. And know that at the end of the day, the only lesson is that we never got nothing we didn't fight for, and if we don't keep fighting, we're going to lose it. So let's keep fighting. Thanks very much.